Like an airliner hitting turbulence, stocks traded in China fell hard today after 2 weeks of relative calm. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The key index on the Shanghai stock market fell more than 8.5% today, the biggest one-day fall since 2007. And back then, Shanghai-listed shares were not the force they are now. Chinese officials have been using aggressive policies to prop up the market that, despite a rocky spring and summer, is still up 69% over the last year. The BBC's Juliana Liu is watching this from Hong Kong.
This morning we heard from the National Bureau of Statistics in Beijing that June industrial profits in China fell by 0.3%. Economists had been expecting a positive figure. And last Friday there was a private survey of purchasing managers which also suggested that factories are seeing a contraction instead of expansion. But I have to say, these are not so-called A-list surveys. I think a lot of traders are really wondering, how could two not super A-list surveys cause the Shanghai Composite to fall by 8.5%?
So that argument is about the fundamentals of the Chinese economy, but does that explain today's drop?
The other reason that some traders have been talking about is rumors that the Chinese regulators may be looking at scaling back some of those unprecedented moves that they'd taken weeks before to prop up the market.
But that's a concern that you're hearing, but it's certainly not confirmed at this stage.
No, certainly not confirmed at this stage. And given certainly what we see, what we saw today, it's really difficult to see that happening.
Juliana Liu, BBC Hong Kong correspondent. Juliana, thank you.
Thank you.
There's news today. Teva Pharmaceuticals is buying the generic drugs business of Allergan. The combination could end up becoming the largest pharma company in the world, using market capitalization as the measure, which would eclipse Eli Lilly in the category. This is a bet not on innovation, on new drugs, but marketing old ones. Teva's stock is up 11% on the Tel Aviv exchange. In the fine print today, Teva also said it's dropping its long-running attempt to buy another maker of medicines, Mylan. The digital news and gossip conglomerate Gawker Media is overhauling its editorial rules after its original, more swashbuckling approach got it into trouble. The Gawker Media empire includes popular sites like Deadspin, Gizmodo, and Jezebel. The CEO put out a public memo Sunday afternoon outlining a kinder, gentler approach, acknowledging that people are entitled to private lives and that just because a story is true doesn't mean it should run. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports on moves that may reflect a wider shift in digital media.
Gawker made its name on snark, with gossipy, often nasty posts targeting New York's media elite.
And that is something that it looks like digital media is outgrowing.
Ken Doctor with Newsonomics says competitors like Vox, Vice, and BuzzFeed are irreverent and opinionated, but typically not mean. Many readers thought Gawker overstepped with its post about a married publishing executive allegedly trying to hire a gay escort. But digital media analyst Rebecca Lieb says the decision to pull that post under pressure from advertisers suggests a bigger problem.
It belies a major fissure in the separation of church and state at Gawker, in the separation of editorial and publishing that is sacrosanct in any media company of repute.
It's not just ad revenue at stake. Former wrestler Hulk Hogan is suing the company for $100 million over its publication of a sex tape. Ultimately, Gawker's brand of tabloid journalism may just prove too costly. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The U.S. housing market is recovering in fits and starts, but the housing crisis has left scars. Millions of homeowners still owe more than their houses are worth. There remains pressure on federal regulators to help by reducing what underwater homeowners owe. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Joanne Henderson is the kind of person who greets strangers with a big hug.
Hi.
Hi, Joanne.
I get a hug.
Thank yeah. you. I met her in the kitchen of her home in New Carrollton, Maryland.
And then it has cabinets down here where I can keep my pots and pans. And
Henderson bought her house in 2001. She refinanced a few years later for a higher amount. Shortly before she retired from her teaching job, she started having trouble with the steep payments.
You would miss a couple, then you'd pay and pay and pay and pay, and then you'd miss a couple more. I almost lost the house.
Henderson got a loan modification, which dropped her interest rate to 3%. Now she's even got a rainy day fund.
A tiny one. Not a big rain, a small rain.
But what would really help Henderson is if the amount of her loan could be reduced in what's called a principal reduction. Henderson owes more than $450,000 on her house, which is only worth $212,000, according to Zillow.
It seems like principal reduction is a logical, no-brainer conclusion.
That's Metria Wilson of the Center for Responsible Lending. She says the improving housing market has cut the number of underwater homeowners from 15 million to 4 million.
So the number's gone down significantly, but here's the rub. The people who make up that 4 million are disproportionately have lower priced homes
that aren't likely to appreciate, so they'll stay underwater. Mel Watt will be making the decision on principal reduction. He's head of the Federal Housing Finance Agency, which oversees Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They guarantee many U.S. mortgages. Watt is caught between homeowner advocates like Wilson and people like Tim Rood, chairman of the Collingwood Group of Financial Advisors. Rood wonders where the money for principal reduction would come from.
This money doesn't come out of thin air, so it's going to have to come from investors or from taxpayers.
In congressional testimony, Mel Watt has said he's looking at ways to help borrowers without hurting Fannie and Freddie. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And San Francisco Public Works is testing a fancy paint to stop jerks or the desperate from relieving themselves on walls. It's a hydrophobic coating engineered to fiendishly kick back a big splash. San Francisco is also considering more public toilets. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.